Tune in to the hottest sports talk show on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Join us weekdays at 7 p.m. Stories about players and coaches of all levels. We make it easy to talk sports.
Hi, welcome to Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. It's 7 p.m. on Tuesday, so the experts will join us in just a moment. We want to thank Billy White Shoes Johnson for being on the show. We'll get our co-host in here in just a moment, but I'm going to go ahead and welcome some of our guests to the show. 2762, the last four of your phone number, 2762.
Hi, this is Jay Hayes.
Hi, Mr. Hayes. How are you? You've been a busy man.
I'm doing great.
You've been a busy man.
I'm doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. How are you doing?
Awesome. Doing really good, sir. Hold on right there. Let me go ahead and welcome Duck to the show. Duck, your mic is open, and then we'll go ahead and get 8617 in. Give us your name.
This is Don Jones. Good evening, everybody.
Hey, Coach Jones. Awesome.
Feeling better, brother. Feeling better, right?
Yes, sir. Feeling a lot better, man. Back to normal now, I think.
Wow. Yes, how long did it take you, Coach Jones? It's still lingering for me.
Well, I would say it took me, it took me a good 2 months because, even though a lot of the headaches and stuff and the fever was gone, I was tired, you know. I just feel real tired and lethargic, you know what I mean? That kind of lingered for a couple months.
Okay.
And after I got the positive test for COVID,
Wow. Well, I'm glad you are doing better. Duck, we're waiting on everybody to get in here. So if I could ask a question, I want to know from Coach Hayes and from Coach Jones and you too, Duck, your thoughts about Sean Payton deciding he wants to retire and move on from football for right now. Jay Hayes, your thoughts about that?
You know, I've known Sean for a long time, back when he was a GA and all that. So, at some point, I like all of us, you know, you just probably are burned out. He's one of the notorious guys for staying in the office forever and ever, and, you know, built sleeping quarters in the Saints facilities for the coaches and all that type of thing. I think he's just probably tired, you know, even though he's only about, in his late 50s, but, he's probably just worn out a little bit and got enough money that he doesn't need any more. that's all I can figure. Unless there's some play going on that he's going to end up being the coach of the Cowboys or something, which I know you would probably like. But
I would love it. Can we get rid of McCarthy today? Let's go ahead and move in that direction.
I just think he's probably to the point where he needs a break, you know.
Yeah.
And I've been on a break for a year and a half, and some days I'm glad I'm not working, and other days I wish I was. So, you know, it's just one of those things. There'll be days where he will wish he's going to work, and there'll be other days that he's happy as he can be, you know, that he's not.
Awesome. Yeah. Coach Jones, your thoughts, too. I remember it was something at the beginning of this season, maybe hurricane, but he moved the whole team and families to another location to take care of them, you know, and that to me speaks to the kind of guy he is off the field. Your thoughts about him stepping away from the game?
Oh, yeah. You know, you never really know what's going on in their personal lives, you know, that could, you know, influence a decision. I mean, you know, we've seen it. You know, we have so many examples of coaches who are, you know, still in that kind of, you know, young enough, to, you know, in their prime, so to speak. You know, guys like Bill Cowher, you know, and even Tony Dungy had a lot more years left. But you know, they some people just they get to the point to where, hey, look, you know, there are other things in life I want to do, and Sean Payton, you know, I mean, you know, he probably just reached that point. You know, he's definitely, you know, he's definitely going to be well sought after. But you know, but like I said, you know, look at Cowher and Tony Dungy. Look at how they tried to. No one thought that they were going to, you know, retire, you know, and be gone for this long. And they, you know, but they were serious when they made their decision. And maybe this is Sean Payton, but I kind of got a, I don't know, man. You know, I don't know. Jerry Jones might got a few billion in the, you know, in the backhand deal or something, man. I don't know. But it wouldn't surprise me, like Coach Hayes said. But it seems like, you know, he really needs to take a break and be gone for a while. Right,
yeah, yeah. And Drew Brees leaving and retiring and the product that he had at quarterback may have had something to do with that. But, again, you guys are probably right. The break was welcome and needed. Doug, the last word on this, and then you can go ahead and get started with the show.
Yeah, they kind of summed it up best. My only input would be that, you know, maybe the Saints need to hear another voice, you know, because, you know, they didn't play that well, and it wasn't that he wasn't coaching the same way. It's just sometimes you could become stagnant in a position. Mm-hmm. So the best way to do is step away.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me go ahead and welcome 3-4 to the show. Give us your name. Yes, sir. It's Ricky Porter.
Hey.
We can get started with the show, Doc. We can get started with the show.
Let's get this party started. You know what? I'm actually, you know how much I love y'all. I'm actually driving cross country right now, and I pulled over at a truck stop, and I said, I got to call in. And so I might not be well prepared, but we'll be okay.
Okay. Right, where you going this time, Ricky? Where you going?
I'm heading up to Ohio right now, man. And then I'm going to come back down through Atlanta and go past and visit my cousin for a little bit.
I got you.
Amen.
All right. Well, I'm going to start with you, Jay, because I want to talk about Nick Saban catching a lot of flack about the voting act. And my question is, would the fans, would they be this hard on him if he won the national championship?
Probably not. You know, probably not. I would think if he would have won it again, all the Bama faithful would be, you know, whatever King Nick wanted to do. But since he lost, what have you done for me lately? And that is why he's getting some smoke from some people.
Okay, Coach Jones, what's your thoughts on that?
You know, man, I just can't, you know, it just bothers me when I hear that, you know, because, you know, you can't disagree with people's political opinion and, you know, you get personal on a guy that's done so much for a program and for a whole state, you know, for them to, you know, give him that type of, you know, lip lash or whatever, you know, it disheartens me. You know, to hear that, you know, and, you know, this nation has become, there's so many people that is just, what I call it political idolatry, you know, they no matter what, you know, that, you know, people are, you know, and I'm not, you know, just talking about one particular party, you know, they, you know, their party belief feeds moral, supersedes, you know, biblical, you know, I mean, that's some church folks that I can't believe, you know, that, they're so into this political stuff. They forgot about, you know, true love, which is the word, you know, which is in the word of God, and they totally disregard that over political view. You know, and it's sad. You know, and but you know, that just bothers me. That, you know, to hear what they're, you know, just because he done something he felt that was the right thing to do. You know, this is America. You got a right to do whatever you want to do. I mean, there are a lot of good Democrats, there are a lot of good Republicans. You know, for him to support a political view that, you know, this, you know, in the benefit of, you know, in his view, he feels right. You know, it just bothers me. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, Princess, I know by being a big Nick Saban fan, what's your thoughts?
Now, you have to start it with that, and you know I'm not a Nick Saban fan per se, but you got to be a fan of his record. But see, you trying to be petty. I'm going to let you go ahead. But, you know, you got to – thank you, Nick Saban. I applauded him over the summer with Black Lives Matter. He just didn't talk about it. He got out and marched with those young men. He seems to have his – you know, finger on the pulse of what is needed. And, you know, the element of Alabama just wants everybody, let those boys go play football and win championships for us, but keep your mouth closed for everything else. And that's not going to happen, and I'm glad that Nick, you know, Saban is okay with supporting that he believes in. And I'm glad about that. And Tim is on too, Duck.
Okay. Tim, since you're on, we're talking Nick Saban. You want to share a little bit of his background?
Yeah, I first would just like to comment on the Reverend Donald Jones's sermon. I think we do a little altar call. No, but I feel the same way he does about that. It really is a shame when you see religious leaders buying into this nonsense, because the Word of God, and I'll get off of this in a second, says that, you know, Jesus told them, whatever you've done to the least of these, and you have to say that African Americans are the least of these in the United States at large. Jesus said, you've also done that unto me. So these people... it really, really disturbed me as well as they do the Reverend Jones. But I just want to mention that Nick Saban is not really a Johnny Come Lately to this. A lot of people don't realize, and I know Duck pointed this out last night, that he played on a high school team with a guy named Kerry Marbury, who went on to West Virginia University and had a career in pro football after that. One of the greatest running backs that ever came out of there, one of his best friends in high school. They won a state championship. As a matter of fact, I think they won two state championships with Nick at quarterback and Kerry Marbury as the running back. And then he went to Kent State and played college football under your coach, Don Jones, Coach James, at Kent State.
Right.
He and Gary Pinkel from Missouri were at Kent State when the governor of Ohio sent the National Guard in to disrupt the civil rights demonstrations that were going on there on campus at Kent State. So Nick Saban is not new to this kind of thing, and I think he has a history of standing on the right side of these types of issues. I'm not a big fan of his either as a coach. I respect what he's done, but I do respect him for taking a stand like this. The state of Alabama, though, if you know it, you know, that was where George Wallace, the governor of Alabama, stood in the doorway to keep black students from going to the University of Alabama back in the 1960s. And President Kennedy had to send the National Guard in to get those black kids a place in a classroom at the University of Alabama. So I'm not so surprised at the climate and the reaction of some of the people down there. But it is disturbing nonetheless.
All right, Ricky, your thoughts, Saban, you know, calling Senator Manchin and saying, hey, you know, let's do the right thing along with Jerry West and a few other people. What's your thoughts on Saban doing that?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you, but Coach Jones and Jay and the Princess and Tim, I mean, after what they've said, it's really not much more to say. I think they hit, I mean, we went from A to Z, and everything they said was on point. I like Nick Saban. I'm not a big, even though I'm originally from Alabama, I'm not a big Alabama fan or anything like that. But you have to respect, and I'm glad Tim was so eloquently gave us the background and the history of Nick Saban and some of the things that he's done. This guy, he is who he is, and I respect him that he, the way that he stands behind what he said. And, you know, I mean, look at his team. His team is probably, what, 80% African-American, somewhere close to that. And he understands. And I don't think it's just because I don't think this is a, okay, I got to keep winning. I got to keep getting these black athletes in here, so I got to stay. I truly believe he feels this way. And I commend him for that. And kudos to him. I just think the guy, you know, has stood up for what he believes. And I think we need more people like that. So, but great job by the staff, everything they said.
Douglas, welcome Will Lewis to the show. Will Lewis.
Okay. Hey, Will. And a lot of it's been covered, but, you know, I just brought up about Nick talking to Manchin and them telling them to do the right thing about the voting at down in, especially down in Atlanta where they were having a lot of issues. So just your thoughts on that.
Yeah, and I can't say that I know Nick Saban personally. I'm familiar with a couple of people who have played for him and who vouch for his character. I think the thing that's interesting when you look at a guy like that and you look at where he's from, where he grew up, the things he was exposed to, and in this case, I think the things that he's probably overcome. But I think a lot of the things that he's overcome is because of the company that he's kept over the years, and mm-hmm. I think that's a definite influence on how he sees things, how he perceives things, and how he approaches life in general. Obviously, a lot of his success comes from his association with minority athletes. I know minority coaches who have coached underneath him who have a lot of respect for him. So I just think that the guy in general has overcome. And I can't speak specifically on his upbringing, but in general, where you're from certainly has an influence on the way you approach things. But I'd lean towards saying that I think he's overcome a lot of his upbringing just through associations and certainly sees the world through a clearer picture.
Okay. I want to stay right with you. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to mention, because Will made me think of something, when he talked about his upbringing, and I mentioned Kerry Marbury, who, by the way, was an African-American, was his best friend. And that was not just one of those situations where you hear a white person say, this guy was one of my friends. They were truly friends. Right. He paid for – I was reading an article today. He paid for Kerry uh-huh. Marbury's hospital bill when he was diagnosed with cancer. In his later years, and actually spoke at Kerry Marbury's funeral. So this thing is real with him. Whatever you think mm-hmm. of him as a coach, this thing is real with him.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna come back to Will. And Will, I was listening to the Eagles head coach and a general manager talk, and the guy asked him, is Jalen Hurts your quarterback going forward? And the general manager says yes. Then the same reporter says, with cap money available to the Eagles, will you go after an elite quarterback?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's always a two-edged sword. If you want to be positive and you appreciate the things that Jalen Hurts did for your team this year, because me personally watching Jalen Hurts play, when the Eagles start to have success, it's because they were allowing him to do what he does best. You know, they were running the ball with him. They were running the ball with their the running back. They were a running team that found the opportunity to throw the ball. So they didn't necessarily run the ball to set up the pass. I mean, they didn't necessarily throw the ball to set up the run. That's what they were. They were a running team, and then they picked their opportunities to throw the ball. And I think Jalen was a big part of that. So if they committed to that, then I think they had a chance to move forward with it, if they committed to it. Now, the other part of it is, you know, and we said it a bunch of times, the teams that move forward in the playoffs are the teams that have an elite quarterback. I can't sit here and say that Jalen is an elite quarterback. So if their cap guy, their GM, says we're going out and we're going to go find an elite quarterback, I mean, good luck. It's not like they fall off the trees. And then a lot of times when they are available, people don't take advantage of the opportunity to acquire them. So if there is an elite quarterback, then I think as a personnel guy, you have to investigate that. You have to look into it. You know what I mean? So I appreciate what Jalen has done, and I think that they can have success with him, but I do not think he's an elite quarterback that's going to take you deep into the playoffs.
All right, guys, we're going to take a short pause for the calls and come back with Coach Jones.
You're listening to Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Never Had It Radio, and find us on Facebook, Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. Taking a break, we'll be right back. When I was a young boy,
we're back with talking about Jalen Hurts and Donald Jones. What do you think Jalen has to do to win over the Philly fans?
Well, I don't see how. I mean, the kid, I mean, from what I understand, is a phenomenal leader on and off the field. And the way he plays the game, because he leaves it all on the table. And I think he's like the type of guy that Philly likes. You know, I don't think he has a problem. You know, winning over the fans because he plays all heart and guts. I mean, he leaves it all on the field. And that's a Philly type of guy. You know, and you got to surround him with the right people. You got to have a strong defense. But I tell you, man, after watching the football this weekend, I have to agree with Will. I mean, watching those two quarterbacks, playing for my man with Kansas City and Buffalo, those two quarterbacks, I mean, they are so good that you got to have a gunslinger to, you know, if you want to win it all, I believe, you know. And, you know, you got guys like Hulbert. You got these quarterbacks now that are just so good that it's going to be tough, real tough, you know, to win with just an average quarterback, you know, just a little bit above that. You got to have an elite quarterback if you want to win it all, you know. So I know I'm talking like two sides out of my neck, but because I got kind of mixed feelings about it, but you know, because I'm such a fan of Jalen Hurst, you know, the man, you know, the character, But again, you know, it's not his fault. You know, those guys are just so good that, you know, it's going to be hard to win. And I guess you have to consider it, but you know, like he said, you know, Will said, those guys don't grow on trees. You know, I mean, there's only a handful of them in the NFL. So who are you going to get, you know, that's going to be better than him? That's what I would say.
Okay. I want to come to Jay. Jay, last night we had a little debate. I kind of compare it what they were doing with Jalen Hurts to Trent Dilfer when he was with the Ravens, because they wanted him to manage the game, dump the ball, use your running game. And Prince said, hey, you know, of course the Ravens had a great defense. I think the Eagles have a very good defense too. But I thought they could do the same thing with Jalen that Trent did for the Ravens. Well, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, you know, that was a process with Trent. You know, this is only Jalen's second season. You know, it took Baltimore, you know, 3 or 4 years to get Trent to that level to where they were able to win a Super Bowl and have their defense in place. I think that Jalen falls into the Randall Cunningham syndrome in Philadelphia. You know, he was just never thought of well enough to do what they wanted him to do. Philly's, you guys know, you know, you guys have been there and lived up there. You know, I'm from the right side of the state, proper side of the state, excuse me. But, you know, I think that it's the young man has, you know, at Alabama, they were always looking for another guy, you know, and they found Tua, you know. So he goes to Oklahoma and does well there, but not quite good enough. And like you said, Duck, he is a game manager. He's not, we talked about this earlier. Will said, you know, he is not an elite quarterback. You know, the guys that are elite, the Aaron Rodgers, you know, Drew Brees, those types of people, Ben Roethlisberger at times during his career. It's hard to be that good of a quarterback. I think, could they win with Jalen Hurts? There's no question. If they have a strong enough team, you know, good enough defense, running game, and he can hurt you running the ball as well as throwing it at times. You know, there's times he can throw it well enough. But he is not an elite quarterback. It's like last week you were asking about the young man at the Hula Bowl, which I coached in that game. And, you know, that guy was a great athlete, could run the ball and all that stuff, but he was not an accurate passer well enough to be considered maybe even to be a quarterback at the next level. You know, he may have to go to Canada. He may go to another position in the NFL. But and they talked about that with Jalen when he was young, that he may have to play another position because of his size and all that stuff. But I think he has played well enough at quarterback. He's better than most, but he's not the top five. You know, there's no question about that. He's better than Cordell Stewart was at this time in his stage in his career, in my opinion. You know, I was at the Steelers when Cordell was there. I think he is a solid player. I don't know if he can keep improving, you know, but just say, you know, elite. There's a difference, you know, and I think that Will stated it, and, you know, with his scouting background and all that, I trust what he has said. Just seeing the young man as a player, I don't see him as one of those top guys, but I think he's a good player, and he can lead a team, and he's got all the qualities you want. For a person that's talking to the offense and leading the huddle and those types of things. And he's a winner. I mean, the guy's a winner. So that there's a lot to be said for that.
Okay. Rick, your thoughts on the Jalen Hurts situation?
You know, I like Jalen. I think I agree with pretty much everything that the guys have said. Okay, said so far. I think he's a good, solid quarterback. And Trent Dilfer is a great example. We had Trent down in Tampa, And that's what he did. You know, basically we had such a good defense. We was basically, and then, you know, we were developing a good defense. Then he left and goes to Baltimore where they had a great defense. And basically what they said is just manage the game. Don't lose the game. We'll be okay. That's how good their defense was. I don't know if Philly's defense will be that good. It may be. But if you want someone to manage the game, who's a leader, who I think the players respect, I think Jalen can get them deep in the playoffs and do some things like that. I think it's, you know, elite quarterback, I'm just going to say, I'm not going to say he'll never be. I'm going to just say right now he's not an elite. But I think he can manage a game with a good defense and, you know, get him in the playoffs and do some things and let his confidence build. You never know. I mean, it's some other quarterbacks that you can put in that same category that overcame that. I mean, I'm not going to name any, but it's some that overcame and became that good. But now what I would do is if it, depending on who it is, if you need a good, solid veteran backup to come in if he were to get hurt or do something, you know, to keep things rolling, I would look for that. I wouldn't look to get anybody in the draft unless it's a you think it's a superstar and you just got to go get him, and then you'll probably end up having to trade Jalen. But I think a good, solid backup, and I think he can manage the team well enough for right now until they get what they want, because I think I'm not sure who said it. Who are you going to go get right now? You know, who's out there? So I'd like to see him have a shot at it and get a chance.
Okay. Princess, you kind of hear what everybody's saying. Can they win? Can he take them deep into the playoffs, Princess?
You know, Duck, I think we can. He can. But the fact that we're having this conversation means there's some concern. And I don't think that the NFL is a Trent Dilfer patience NFL anymore. Everybody's waiting and looking for the next new shiny object. And right now it's Jimmy G, it's Matthew Stafford, it's Joe Burrows, and it's Patrick Mahomes. Would you take Jalen Hurts over just those four? And I don't think that I would. If the franchise can have patience with Jalen Hurts, I think he can grow into the position more than he is now. But when everybody's job is tied to the success of the quarterback, you don't get many chances, and he won't get that long. But the fact that we're having the debate means there's some concern. He's not an elite, but he led him to the playoffs this year. So, but mm-hmm. I'm like Coach Jones. I'm talking out of both sides of my neck on this one.
Mm-hmm. Princess, can I ask you something real quick? When Dak came out in Dallas, when he came out, was he considered an elite quarterback?
He was not.
That's what I'm saying. He was not. That's why they didn't want to give him that money, because they still wanted nickel and diming him, thinking that, okay, we ain't got anything better, we'll just keep him around. Then when he got hurt, he found out he was the best thing they ever had down there. Well, not ever had, but the best thing they had. So I was just wondering, you can grow into being, because I think Dad is getting into that category now where he can carry a team. So that's just my opinion.
I agree.
Can I
Tim,
say this?
Jump in on it, Tim. What's your thoughts, Tim? Go ahead,
well,
Jack.
Like I said last night, I would defer, because I haven't seen enough of Jalen Hurts to really give an informed opinion on what he's capable of doing. I just know that Philly, you played in Philly, Duck, and the Philly fans are rough on everybody. I saw Charles Barkley talking the other day, talking about how they used to scream at him and tell him how fat he was. So, you know, whatever. I'll let you guys, give your
opinion. Tim, you got to be able to dance. You got to be able to dance your way through Philly, baby.
And obviously you did, Duck. I think Jay Hayes has something he wanted to say too.
I just wanted to say this on, you know, the four quarterbacks that are left in the playoffs. I think Garoppolo is a suspect anything. You know, he'll throw one to the other team just as easy as he'll throw one to his guys. And you know, he's not an elite quarterback by any stretch. You know, San Francisco just can run the ball and run it better than anybody, and we'll keep running it at you. You know, I worry, and I'm sure we're going to get to this later, about, you know, is the big tackle healthy and is Debo healthy and all that stuff. But, you know, Garoppolo, you put the game in his hands, a good chance he's going to give it to you. And it's just like the Allen kid at Buffalo. I have coached against him and, you know, held them. We sacked him so many times when I was at Green Bay and held them to minus yards and all kind of stuff. And they had a chance at the end of the game, and he, you know, he just couldn't do it. Now, has he gotten better? Sure. The understanding of using the RPO, the things that he does well, which I think Jalen can do, will make him, you know, because football's going that way. And Buffalo has learned to use that and let that kid run and throw and, you know, run the RPOs and those types of things. And that's the thing you have to do with Jalen Hurst to make him threat. You know, you have to use them all around. You just hope with all these kids that are running that they don't get dinged up too bad. And that's all I have to say on that.
Okay. I'm going to come to you, Rick, because I hear somebody was, you know, just talking. They said Josh Allen is the only quarterback that teams designate runs for that quarterback. So no other team designate runs for their quarterback but Josh Allen?
Absolutely not. How about Lamar Jackson? Let's go with Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields, Dak Prescott, and even Patrick Mahomes. They'll put and there's probably a few more that they'll put running plays in there. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This guy, Josh Allen, he sold me this week. I mean, he's going to be an elite quarterback if he's not already there. The way he threw the ball, and not only you talking about out of all these quarterbacks, I think he was hurting some of them defensive backs coming up there trying to hit him because he's not – he's lowering his shoulder. And I just hope he doesn't get hurt. But I
yes,
see
sir.
In this last playoff game, I really think we're seeing a superstar in the making in him. And Patrick, don't get me wrong. I mean, it was one of the best games I've seen. And but as far as I think maybe because of, I mean, I don't like to go this, but why are they making this statement? Is it because of – I mean, if you notice all the other quarterbacks I named were of a certain race, is it because – you know, they're noticing this
you
because
can say
he's okay. Are they, I mean, really, is that comment being made because he's white? Because my thing is, if you can run, if that is a tool that you have in your arsenal, why not use it? You got to be smart with it, but why would you sit back there? And I think I've heard this years ago. Black quarterbacks used to say, "I got to prove to them that I'm a pocket passer, that I can sit in the pocket and pass it, scramble a little bit." But now that is a part of the game. That's what the National Football League has gone to. A lot of these quarterbacks that are pure drop-back quarterbacks passing, they wish they could run. They can't. Some of them can't. I think Josh Allen is going to be special, just like some of the quarterbacks I just named, because they can throw the ball and they can run. So that's my opinion on it.
Yeah, and I'm coming to you, Will, because, you know, over the years we heard, you know, anytime we drop back and we take off running or we have a designated run, oh, yeah, he's a running quarterback. But I don't remember them saying that a lot about Steve Young, especially when he was winning the Super Bowl. But with Josh Allen, you know, now all of a sudden they designate – runs for him. So does that make him a running quarterback or just a quarterback?
Yeah. I mean, certainly coming out of school, Josh Allen was considered, I mean, a big kid with a big arm that was pretty athletic. I don't think when he first came out of when he first got to Buffalo, when he first came out of what was Wyoming, that they considered him to be a running quarterback. He was, you know what I mean, a big kid with a big arm, a howitzer foot arm. I think he surprised everybody at just how athletic he was once he got into the league. So I don't think they knew that about him. But I think the thing that surprises people about guys like that, there's a number of running quarterbacks. They run obviously very well. There's not a lot of them who are big and athletic like that. You know what I mean? To me, though, guys like that are like, you know, our Josh Allen, Cam Newton is one of those guys. Taysom Hill, you know what I mean, obviously has good size. Justin Herbert can run the ball, but he's a passer first. You know what I mean? But he's certainly a lot more athletic than you give him credit for. It's funny because the narrative has changed over the years where if you were a black quarterback, you were just considered a runner, and then, you know, you just threw the ball. You know what I mean? Nowadays, it has evolved a whole lot because you are a runner, but you're a passer. You're not just a guy who can throw the ball. You're a passer. So we kind of have that with the more elite players, you know, the Justin Fields, you know, who can certainly is a big body, who can run, but he can pass the ball, not just throw it. He can pass the ball. So you got that. Lamar certainly was a great athlete coming out. But people have seen him develop his passing game over the years. So I think that is probably a little bit of evidence right there that that Jalen Hurts can become a more accurate passer, not just a guy, again, not just a guy to throw the ball, because you've seen it happen with Lamar, who was a tremendous athlete, probably one of maybe the best athlete in football, but was an elite runner and is a pretty damn good passer now, opposed to being a thrower. So I think under the right circumstances, with the right coaching and a lot of work during the off season, because the one thing you always hear about Josh Allen is the amount of work that he put in from that first year during the off season to get where he got to be a more accurate passer. You know what I mean? Big arm, surprising athleticism, but was not an elite passer. He's a much better passer now than he was, you know, early on. So I think it's about the work, and I think it's about the off season and people getting the opportunity to elevate their game.
Okay. Does anybody else want to jump in on that? Because I don't want to run out of time tonight, and so we can move into the games over the weekend. Anybody else want to talk about the Josh Allen and running? And okay. All right, Tim, coming to you. Bengals and Titans.
Good ball game. I think I was really surprised. I expected Tennessee to win the game. I was really surprised that the Bengals played with the kind of poise that they did. I thought they played very good football the entire game, with the exception of their offensive line. You know, their defense was nails. Everybody talks about Burrow, but Chase and Higgins had big games. And their defense was just tremendous all day long.
Okay, Princess.
What was the game that you just talked about, Duck? I'm sorry.
The Titans and the Bengals.
That game came down to me. Joe Burrow withstood the 9 sacks. And I don't know if I like the game where you sit out, you know, because you're the number one seed. I didn't think that the Titans looked fluid the entire game, and in the end, the kicker was from the University of Florida, Go McPherson.
Okay. Yeah.
Gotta
all
take
right.
My wins where I can get them.
Yes. Say it again. I didn't hear.
What was your thoughts on the Titans and the Bengals?
Yeah. What stood out to me was Joe Burrow, man. I mean, now I'll tell you why. He's in that class of elite quarterbacks that I was talking about earlier. Now, Joe Burrow, and the reason being, just like what Princess was saying, I mean, just think about it. This dude has was sacked, how many, what, 9 times or something like that? And he still loses his poise. And that's rare. Usually when you're getting hit like that, you're getting happy feet, you're making bad plays, bad strokes, but this kid is tough. He was standing in there in the pocket making the throw. He's not the most mobile guy in the world, but he was standing in that pocket making the decision, cool and calm and collected. And I'm totally impressed with Joe Burrow. He's definitely, in my book, you know, an elite quarterback.
Okay. Jay, any surprises out of that Bengals and Titans game?
The one surprise that I had is I was surprised that the Bengals defense played as well as they did, but I think it also had to do, and I refer to what Princess said, the layoff for Tennessee offensively. They weren't really one of those offenses that scared you most of the season, especially at the end of the year when Henry wasn't playing, and he just got into the flow of things, you know, and he really didn't have all the big runs for him. It was the second running back that had like the long runs for him. They just couldn't get into a good flow of the game. When I watched them earlier in the year, you know, they were kind of stagnant for three quarters, and then they would kind of explode in the fourth quarter, and they just never did that, you know. And I was surprised that the Bengals defense was able to hold up, because there have been times during the year where they imploded, you know, later in the year at times. So, you know, they're playing well. Their offense, got to give those kids credit. They're, you know, they have – threats. They have about three or four threats at receiver, and then Mixon is you know, a great complement to their running game, and Burrow is just a heck of a quarterback. He is a really, really good player. To get sacked 9 times and win a game, that's, I've never heard of that. You know, having been a D-line coach as long as I was in the NFL, if I would have sacked your ass 9 times, I'm sure I was going to beat you. You know, so that's all I can say.
All right, Will, the 49ers and the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, that was just a crazy game for me. Because I certainly had picked Green Bay, and I was rolling with Green Bay. And you know, we say what we will about Jimmy G, but the dude keeps winning. Now he's won his way all the way over here to the NFC Championship. So, and again, it really isn't all him. Their defense played well. Their special teams obviously took advantage of Green Bay's ineptitude as a special teams unit. But really, you have to be surprised that a team, meaning San Francisco, gets that NFC Championship game and did not score an offensive touchdown in that game. So, but yet you won the game against the number one seeded team. So weird things happen in the playoffs.
Okay. Rick, your thoughts on that game, the Packers and the 49ers? I guess Rick's still at the truck stop.
Can you hear me now, Duck? I'm sorry. I thought maybe I hope he jumped in his truck. I'm just talking away. y'all stop that. Stop it. Princess, tell me stop it. Okay. Lord, I lost my train of thought, Duck. Oh, okay. What was that? Who were we talking about? Oh, Packers. Okay. Yeah, that was one of my teams, you know, both of my teams. I picked Buffalo and the Packers to go deep, but they didn't, but it is what it is. I thought it was a good, solid game. I know where I saw that coming, though. I really thought, you know, playing in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, there was no way they're going to be denied. But it happened, and I guess Will put it back. I mean, put it best. That's the playoffs for you. And you almost, unless it's your team, you almost like seeing stuff like this. You know, it gives you that little, that thing about you, anything can happen in the playoffs. So, good game. All the games were good, but that was a good game. And I don't want to give an opinion on the 49ers yet, but we'll just leave it at that.
All right, Princess. Packers and 49ers.
As you all know, I was not cheering for the Packers, so go 49ers. Jimmy G has nice hair. I don't know. What else do you say?
Okay. All righty. All right, guys, we're gonna keep every comment to a minute because we're going to have to go to another show. So I'm going to stay with Jay. Kansas City, Buffalo, your thoughts on that game?
Unbelievable game, went back and forth. The 13-second drive was a thing of beauty. If Eric Bieniemy was calling those plays, Andy won't give him credit for it, but if he was calling those plays, the guy needs to have a head coaching job in the NFL.
Okay. Donna, Coach Jones, what you got for us?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Jay, because, you know, every time you hear hear something positive about the offense, they always say Andy Reid. They don't, you know, and I think that's part of the problem with Eric. You know, he's not getting the credit but that game was incredible. You know, maybe the best game I ever seen. And those teams were, you know, those quarterbacks were just phenomenal. I mean, you know, they were just that good. They, you know, and they made the, you know, they made the plays on in the clutch, but it was, you know, I don't think I need to, you know, overstate that, but it was just a phenomenal game, and too bad that's one of those games where it's too bad a team had to lose, because they played their hearts out, and left it all on the field, and that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about.
Okay, Tim, Buffalo, Kansas
City. Yes, sir.
City.
That was a tremendous ball game. Maybe the best I've ever seen. Well played as well. You realize there were no turnovers during that game by either team. It was tremendous. You know, they were talking. I've never thought very much of Kansas City's defense. I mean, they when they had their Super Bowl run, they had a good period right before the playoffs and through the playoffs. But they were, the previous year, considered a pretty porous defense, and Honey Badgers helped that situation a bit. But the Buffalo defense was considered, they were number one rated defense in the NFL, and they got shredded. It was just a really good competitive game with two quarterbacks at the top of their game. The kid Gabriel Davis, was outstanding. Just a good game all the way around.
Okay, I'm sorry, Ricky Porter. The Rams,
you know,
in Tampa Bay.
Oh, you want me to jump to that one? Okay, the Rams.
Yeah.
Rams in Tampa. The Rams tried to. They did everything they could to give it away. you know, I'm kind of glad the Rams won. I found a way to pull it out or whatever. I'd like to, you know, just see them in there. But I thought it was, a well-played game. I shouldn't say well-played, good play game. And then just with the things that happened, you just really didn't know was the Rams going to be able to pull it out, and they did. So that's what made it exciting, that they still found a way to win it. Just real quick on the game we talked about before, the Kansas City and who was it? L.A.? No, Kansas City and
Buffalo.
I hate to say it, but with Tim and Donald both, and you know, you hate to put a title on something. That may be one of the greatest games I've ever seen. I mean, really, it was. I think it was well played, and only bad thing about it is Buffalo didn't get another chance, because I didn't care. At that point, the way they were scoring, I felt like if there was 2 seconds on the clock, give the other quarterback a shot. He might make something happen, you know. So it was a great game.
All right, Will.
And the,
we're talking about the Rams and Tampa Bay. Yeah.
The Rams and Tampa Bay. Yeah. when you trail 27-3 at one point, you know, you kind of think the game is over and done. But then certainly the Rams kept trying to find ways to get the ball back, give it up, fumbles, you know, different things like that. But in the end, they did what they had to do to come out on top. So I think the Rams were a better team than Tampa, and they were executing. They just kind of got away from controlling the ball, keeping the ball, controlling the clock, and winning the game. The one question I do have, though, is right at the end when Stafford threw the long pass down the middle to Kupp, and then they were able to get up there and clock it before the field goal kicker came in. I still didn't see a referee spot the ball. You know what I mean? So just flashing back to that Dallas game, I didn't really see. It looked like they just got up, put the ball down, clocked it, came in and kicked it. So I'm not sure who was supposed to touch the ball or who was supposed to spot it, but it didn't appear to happen to me. Anyway, one thing I will finish with is the Kansas City Rams game. When you talk about most exciting games ever, the Kansas City Rams game from 2 years ago, and it may be, you know, a little bit of a preview of things to come, but if you remember that game, that was a pretty wild game. Where Kansas City played in L.A. and Rams in a wild, wild game, like 42-48 or something crazy like that. But keep that one in mind.
All right, Princess, you got the final word on the Rams in Tampa Bay.
It was just a great weekend, Rams in Tampa Bay. I was excited to see Tampa Bay come back, and a guy named Cooper Kupp had a great catch, and they were able to kick the field goal. But just a great weekend of football. The NFL should be proud of the product from this weekend.
All right, guys, we're not going to be the friends of our show coming on. Go ahead.
What did Jay say?
I said more games are lost than won, and that's what happened in the Tampa Bay Rams game. They should have never blitzed them. You know, they
that's right. The matchup was terrible.
Cover two. They should have just kept playing cover two. And I don't know if there was miscommunication on, you know, they couldn't – some of the guys got the call. Some of the guys didn't. You know, they had an all-out blitz, and they had guys standing around instead of hug rushing and stuff like that. But it more games are lost than won. And that's, you know, when guys aren't on the same page, that's going to happen.
From Princess Cooper, Tim Moore, Jay Hayes, Ricky Porter, pretty Ricky with the call, Will Lewis, and Donald Jones.
Ricky Porter, leave that truck stop, Ricky Porter. Continue.
trust me, Princess. No hookers coming up in here. You ain't got to worry about that.
All right, Ricky, go home.
I hear somebody knocking.
Have a great week, everybody. Go home, Ricky.
Okay.
Go home.
I am. Don't you worry, Princess. You know me.
Get it to him, and Carl Jones needs to hit on. Such a strong hit that Revell has gone to a knee in the back of the end zone. First and five, running right side. Ball is loose.